I'm a skeptical person.
I'm a sucker for a great smile.
I was shocked too.
It's not the typical way that I like to date a man.
No.
You know, I'm just trying to find love. Least favorite part was living in a house full of women.
I'm ready to find love, find a husband.
The perfect word is
Rachel!
Hello, Internet. Welcome to a very special 2 weeks long anticipated episode of 25 to Life. Last week, ABC pulled the old basketball switcheroo on us and kind of left us bachelorette-less. So anyway, there's a special treat for this for the 2 week wait. Taylor is currently out of country. She has fled for work purposes, and in her stead, my friend Courtney has voluntarily sort of braved the microphone to be on the show for the first time tonight. So everybody, please give a round wherever you are, a public bus or work or whatever. Please stand up and clap for Courtney for her first appearance on the show. Courtney, welcome.
Thank you. I'm gonna clap for myself. I feel like this is a long time coming.
I'm gonna clap for you too because it's easier to clap, and our audience will clap better if they can
right,
hear
if they
ours.
Feel like we're going along with it.
Yeah, it's like a team effort kind of thing.
I'm all about it.
So welcome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your history watching The Bachelor or The Bachelorette or whatever?
I mean, I've watched since season one with Alex. Granted, I did take a few hiatuses in there. Like,
well, yeah.
I think there was a prince at some point. Didn't watch the prince's season.
Yeah.
But beyond that, on again, off again, and then you and I ended up working together, and I was pulled right back
into
this magical show.
How do you get out of it?
Then the podcast came into my life. So, long-time listener, first-time podcaster.
Yeah, I mean,
so into it.
Once the podcast is part of your life, it's hard to get out.
Like, it's
the
real hard.
The undertow has grabbed you. It's too late at this point.
I know.
Darkness is going to close in. So anyway, we're going to talk about the episode of television that we just watched together. But before we do that, let's address the murmurings around Bachelor in Paradise. And I'm not a 1,000,000% up to date on this. Have you done some kind of research?
I've been following it in the news. Yeah.
Can you give a brief explanation to the people of what's going on with Bachelor in Paradise?
So my understanding, and maybe I'm a little outdated, and this will be tomorrow, so even if I'm more outdated, you know, happens.
Yeah.
But to my understanding, on the first night of filming Bachelor in Paradise, everyone got wasted. Surprise, surprise.
That sounds standard. That seems
right.
Pretty, like, playbook.
I think everyone's okay with that.
Right.
I think everyone expects that, and that's why people watch.
Right, right.
But apparently things got taken a little too far between two contestants who have come out to be, surprise, surprise, Corinne and DeMario.
Yeah, well, obviously. The two targeted players.
Right. Like, let's just get them off to a hot mess of a start.
Yeah.
And so apparently some things went down in a hot tub or a pool or some sort
some
of water.
Some things or some people.
Ooh, tough question.
Wait. My dad listens to the show.
Oh, God.
All right. So that happened.
And it was not reported by any castmate that something was wrong, but actually by a producer who was going to come after ABC for some misconduct. My guess is that means that it was someone not stepping in to stop some sexual activity.
Okay. So the producer, has this producer been violated in some way by this act? Why is the producer the one who's suing?
Couldn't tell you. That's a fantastic question, but
so they canceled, they stopped filming.
They stopped filming.
Bachelor in Paradise is over.
They sent the contestants not only out of the resort, but home from Mexico, ruining some of this season of The Bachelorette.
Right. Man, so we have the spoiler.
So we have the spoiler.
We'll talk about it later.
We don't need to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. It's just spoiled for us.
Yeah. So, man, this show. So, there's only one reaction to this. As far as I see, there's only one reaction. And it's,
what, you hate it when one girl ruins it for the whole bunch?
No, it's that the producers deserve this. Because Bachelor in Paradise is, like, it's a show that's, the concept of the show is people get really drunk and hook up.
Right.
And the whole, like, and the producers are just sitting there, like, elbowing them in the ribs, like, how do you think she looks tonight? Go take this drink over to her. Like,
yeah. Well, actually, have four shots, then take this drink over to her.
Like, they're encouraging this. Have four shots, don't eat anything for weeks.
Right.
They encourage this, and it's, like, they keep pushing the drunkenness and the hooking up, and, like, the drunkenness is only just, you're just forfeiting consent or like the power to do this.
Right.
And so this is the only place it could have gone. They're pushing them towards this line. They're pushing them, and they just, somebody had to go over it.
Right.
And this is the event that happened, and now they're going to lose the whole season, the whole
show. So my big question is, and what I've been talking to my friends about, and how I think we're all on the same page, what if they're both so drunk that neither could consent?
I think that's definitely the case. I don't think there's so a too, what if about
because
it.
Because you've been reading these things that Corinne comes out with that she's a victim. And DeMario's first statement is saying Corinne's a lovely person. And then it's like, no, 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 I'm seeking legal action.
The good news is that this is all on tape.
Like, that's true. And none of them have even seen the tape yet, apparently.
It has to come up. Yeah. Like, ABC can't ruin it. Now, if there's already a lawsuit and ABC were to do something with the tape, they'd lose.
Right.
It'd be over because right. you can't just Done. Destroy evidence. So something will, like, something will come out, and it's going to look terrible for ABC. There's no way it looks good. I don't care about those two people. They're garbage people.
Like, right.
Well, I don't want either of them to be broke for the rest of their life because no. the producers conned them into doing this to get ratings. But I don't care if whatever, right?
Yeah. I mean, I hope neither of them have, like, serious, like, repercussions on the rest of their lives.
I hope so, too. But
beyond that... Let's clean like, cut it and the get back not, to paradise that we all love.
The world's not
going to
miss Bachelor in Paradise.
Oh, I will. Are you kidding?
Really?
Yes, I love that. I like Bachelor in Paradise more than The Bachelor.
See, I mean, I don't do my show about it. And, like, I like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette because I do my show about it. If I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't watch this garbage.
I think I watch The Bachelor and Bachelorette only to understand Paradise better. And to listen to the podcast, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's start off with the end of the road. That's the place where we start. The end.
Which makes sense every week on The Bachelorette.
So
now.
We're way off the rose ceremony train. Yeah. We didn't have one at the end of the last episode, so we have to start this one. I don't know. We're miles away from having another rose ceremony at this point.
So let's enjoy this one while we can.
Let's enjoy it. We only got rid of three people, so we're we're down to what, like 480 or something?
Yeah.
So we lose three people. The first one's a big blow. Fan favorite, like house favorite, glasses, spectacles wear, Diggy.
Just an all around love.
We lost Diggy, the sweetest, most bespectacled person.
His glasses fogged up from his tears.
Man, so this sucks. We get to the end and there's like four guys left and one of them's Diggy and one of them's Lee. And you're like, she wants to pick Diggy, but there's somebody in her ear going, why don't you go ahead and pick Kenny and Lee?
Probably
and
the same fighting. Producer that was in Paradise.
That person should be...
just ruining it for everyone.
That person should be murdered by Kenny.
We're jumping ahead here. We're jumping ahead.
Death by wrestler. Yeah, anyway. Diggy is so sweet, and I missed him. And he was going to be on Bachelor in Paradise.
I know.
Where he could have potentially found somebody or potentially just gotten another paycheck for another season of TV.
You know, either way would have been good for him, though.
Good things should happen to Diggy.
They should. And you know what? I think good things will. It's not really the end of the road for Diggy, but just on Rachel's season.
It's the end of the road for my show. No, like, he'll come back out because I love him. Like,
yeah.
And I want more people wearing glasses.
Always.
By the way, Courtney wears glasses.
I do.
Right? So this podcast being done 100% by people who wear glasses.
And now it's talking about someone in glasses.
Sometimes Taylor wears glasses, but not all the time. It's, like, unpredictable.
Yeah.
Me, on the other hand, rock
Always.
Solid. Next person lost is Bryce.
Bryce.
I don't know what else he did.
He had a very square face.
Awesome. Any, like, actions that stand out to you?
Talking, because I saw his teeth.
Yeah. Man. We're just at that point still. Where
yeah.
Like, there's still a guy who pops up in the episode, and you're like, wait.
Huh?
Wait, what? The whole time?
Yeah. Oh, so he was quick.
So that was Bryce.
Yeah.
And Brady.
Brady looked like the guy that was on the Abercrombie poster in my bedroom in high school.
Sure, high school.
College, too.
Sure, college.
Okay, he didn't come to San Francisco with me, all right?
Are you sure?
Those frosted tips, those are in.
So we had a handful of moments with Brady while we were watching this, where, like, there's an angle, we're like, looking at Brady, there's an angle where you're like, oh, all right, this guy, like, yeah, he's giving it to me. And then there's another angle. That previous angle where you look at him and he's hot is, like, a head-on, kind of a little bit to the side type of thing, like a real model shot.
It's when he knew the camera was on him.
Yeah.
He knew exactly how to turn his
face. Yeah, he was looking at it. He was, like, giving it to the camera.
Right.
There's another angle when he is shot from above where you're looking at him and you're like, whose hair is that?
Because it's really tall and only the front piece is blonde.
It's very terrible.
Yeah. It's almost as bad as Lee's. But we don't need to go there yet. Okay, fine.
Lee has bad hair, too.
I mean, it's six feet tall.
Among other things. Among other bad qualities.
Let's just add hair to the list.
Inside of Lee's basket of bad qualities, hair is included.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it for Brady. What else is there? We lost Diggy and two other random guys.
That's the perfect way to end this.
All right, so the episode starts. We are we're pre-rose ceremony, and there's a lot of drama between Lee and
Did you say drama?
Kenny. Drama.
Drama!
Yeah. Okay. It's like drama, but said more... Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
I mean, that's the way that I do things.
Yeah.
So the drama's happening.
Eric's losing his mind. Still.
Yeah. Well, what's... Eric won. So Eric starts the show with a rose. Like, he can't lose. He's already won. He's in the middle of a fight with Lee, which turns into a fight between Kenny and Lee. Lee just wants to fight everyone.
Well, and insert Iggy.
Yeah.
Oh, Iggy. Iggy's always there. Come
on. This guy. This is just like, I don't even know what Iggy's game is.
He just meddles. I think only thing he can talk to Rachel about is other people.
That's true. Iggy, like, he sees people talking and he just, like, sticks himself in and he's like, oh, sounds like you guys are exposing
drama.
Personal failures right now. It doesn't matter what you say. You could be like, oh, yeah, I like ice cream. And Iggy would stick his head in there and be like, are you saying that you don't like warmth and, like, compassion? Because that's what I'm hearing. And then he would report on this back to Rachel.
And then he would go up and tell you that, like, he overheard that you didn't like warmth, and he just thought Rachel should know.
Yeah,
your name came up in a conversation.
It just came
anyway.
Up. Yeah, right. It came up because you said it.
Like, right.
Obviously. So it starts and there's some drama. It's whatever. It's bad. Like, this is going to be the story of the season right now, is like Lee starting fights with people. Right.
But before Lee starts a fight, he takes out his grandpa's knife and carves a word in a block.
What is that about?
I wish I knew. And they kind of breezed over it, but put it in there because we had to know the weird, you know?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. So objectively, you're a woman.
That I am.
If a man were to do something like this for you, how would it make you feel?
I think he was going to cut me. That was not a beautifully engraved block of wood.
No.
That looked like it was a murder letter.
It's something you see in a horror movie.
Right.
Right before this person dies.
Right.
You know, I carved something. It's your name. It's not the only thing named Courtney I'm going to carve tonight. And you're like, Jesus, you're creeping me out. That was weird.
Yeah, that was super weird. And I think it said enchantment or something like that.
Which is probably, in his defense, the biggest word he knows.
So true.
So he's just advertising for himself.
Yeah.
Check it out. I learned this word. I knew it. It's probably spelled wrong, but he knows it. She gave it to him, and she looked at it for a second, so it probably was misspelled.
Yeah.
Anyway, with Lee at this point, we're in a big battle of using your percent. Because he's getting under the other guy's skin so much that they will talk to her about him, which is not good for the show.
Yeah.
But use your percent. Everyone should just use their percent nationwide, right? That's it. Anything else? Is there anything else that happened that you think is relevant in this part of the show?
Brian. I think Brian was relevant. Only in the fact that I had to leave the room and throw up while he was talking to Rachel.
What? She, like, made out with him hard, too.
I know. She eats
How's
it
that
up?
Happening?
Because she's surrounded by Lee the rest of the time.
Yeah,
so
you're
Brian's
right.
Probably refreshing.
I think Rachel's in kind of a tough spot. Because there's a handful of guys. There's, like, what? I don't know what. 15, 16 guys?
Something? Yeah. Something
is that right?
Like that left.
And realistically, only
two of them matter.
Two or three of them are, like, worth anything.
Exactly.
But she has to keep the other ones around. She can't just be like, I'm going to give out one rose to Peter and everyone else can just go home.
Right, and then you guys can tape us on a honeymoon for the next
Yeah, and then we'll go
months.
On all the dates.
Yeah.
That's what will make sense. But she's not, like, legally, contractually allowed to do that.
I
think. No.
Oh, my God.
What if she did?
That would be so epic.
And the second rose goes to Peter. And the third rose, also Peter. And then I'm just going to stop.
Well, actually, let's keep Dean around. Yeah. He's like an adorable and little puppy Dean, dog. He can come.
Anyway, so Dean, by the way, let's go into this. So Dean gets a one-on-one.
Yes.
Dean, we start the actual programming off. Dean has a one-on-one date.
Yes.
Dean is wonderful.
Dean's adorable.
He's very adorable. Like he's cute. He's hot.
He's 25.
He's kind of a baby.
Yeah.
Is that an issue? Is that a problem?
Yes and no. Yes.
Well, you should explain both.
I'm trying to think of how I want to word this.
Ah, okay.
Yes, it's a problem because I think where she's at in her life as an almost 32-year-old woman, as Brian liked to point out, only to make the math favor his age.
There's another way to say almost 32.
It's you know what it 31. Is? 31.
Yeah.
As a 31-year-old woman, I think she needs to think about, is he ready for a commitment? And let's be honest, you aside, obviously, because you're fantastic in getting married. Guys tend to want to settle down a little later in life.
You're fantastic.
You're
getting
over 25,
married.
So
I am almost 30, which is a weird way of saying 29,
right.
But it is an accurate way of saying 29.
Correct. And then no, it's not a problem because if they have that connection and he's a mature 25-year-old, which I really hope he is, maybe if he can learn to fly.
He seems like it.
He does. He has the thighs of a mature 25-year-old.
Wow. The thighs happen a couple of times. Like,
not only in the shorts, but also in the very tight white pants.
Oh, yeah. So so they're like, whatever. So here's how the date happens. They get in this, like, Jeep thing or this big truck.
Yeah,
this truck. And they drive it in the middle of nowhere, and they get out, and they eat on the hood, and it's, like, really sweet. And Dean's wearing these, like, little short shorts, right? Like,
yeah, I was.
Who wears short shorts?
Dean
wears short shorts. So they drive this out. They're doing this thing, and this Goodyear blimp comes in, and it, like, parks in the field. And they're like, oh, my God, what's this blimp? Like, are these people just hit with this stupid stick before they come on the show?
Look, what is this blimp over there?
What's
the
blimp doing? Oh, my God, it's coming down for me? Well, no. So the blimp comes down. And then Dean, at this point, does what I consider a masterstroke of one-on-one dating. Dean pretends to be afraid of blimps and heights and all this stuff. I think he made the whole thing up. I think he made the whole thing up so he could be like, listen, I'm going to be brave if you'll hold my hand, and then we'll have a good time up here, and you'll be like, Dean's this guy who'll put away his fears for me, which is just some they do on the show every season.
Now that you say it, do you see how quick he jumped at the opportunity to drive that blimp?
Genius! Well, like, first of all, like,
it's a bus.
Yeah, number one, it's a bus. Number two, a bus, you could at least steer, like, left or right and run into something. A blimp? You're just in the middle of nowhere, and there's another guy piloting it.
Right.
He could not have messed it up.
I also looked up how fast a blimp goes. Do you know what the average speed of a blimp is?
2 miles an hour?
Oh, no, you'll be impressed then. 35.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Speeding. Wow.
Yeah.
You could take that blimp through a school zone full speed, and no problem.
That's only through a no-wind zone.
Oh,
so,
oh whoa. Oh.
Let's not get too aggressive.
I wasn't even considering
there.
The wind.
Yeah.
First mistake of blimp problem. Okay, so Dean's like, I'm so afraid of blimps. I'm so afraid. Heights, oh my God. And they get up there, and they're holding hands. It's very sweet. It's what a clever tactic he does. And then the pilot is like, listen, if you stop complaining, I'll let you fly this thing. And Dean's like, all right, I'm not afraid anymore. And jumps in, because who could resist flying a blimp?
No one.
Right.
Amazing. Amazing.
So he jumps in and flies it. Whatever. This happens. It's a thing. Then
his thighs get more airtime. That's really what matters.
These shorts just continually get shorter. He's like, they're shorter when he's flying. And then they go in this little, like, love suite in the back. And and Dean's, they're just now straight up briefs, like colored denim briefs or something. His thighs are just out. And, like,
God bless Dean.
Listen, when you got it, when you got it, you put it out there,
right.
You know?
You're trying to win here.
Yeah. So they do this, then they finish, and they go down into, I don't know, somewhere, and they have dinner together. It's very sweet. Dean has these, like, skin-tight white jeans on. Again, the thighs and, like, listen, when you got it. And
you got it.
And we have this moment that's way too long and impossible to make jokes about, but very sweet, where Dean's like, when I was 15, my mom died, and here's the story, and here's how I grew up. And it's really important. Because the whole time Rachel's like, this child, is he actually old enough? And he's like, I have a story about this. And did he ever?
He crushed it. He told the story with emotion and heart and, don't know if he's lying or not, says he's never opened up to anyone like that before. Just let me have her reach for the rose right now.
I would be willing to bet he opened up to the producers directly before this segment and was like, so I had this story about how my mom died when I was 15. And they were like, okay, give us the details. And he's like, well, now that it's fresh, I'll just repeat it to her.
When would you like me to tell it? At dinner or while I'm scared shitless on a blimp?
While I'm pretending to be scared. Sorry. Please, get it straight. So anyway, like, it was a really long story. It was like an entire 4 or 5 minute like act of TV, which I get it. It's part of the strategy. It's always part of the 1-on-1 date strategy to like tell the saddest thing that's ever happened to you.
Happened to be really sad. And
listen, I don't know how that happened. I don't know if that works for people, but it's part of the show. And Dean did it very well. He did it so well that he got, like, number one, no sad music. And number two, it was a long time.
Yeah.
He
used his percent.
Oh, he just destroyed his percent.
Yeah.
And she was crying. He was crying. Everyone was crying.
Yeah.
Which is very dangerous when you're wearing white pants. right? And I'm really trying to make jokes about
that. I know. It was a sweet scene. Let's move on to the better part of the date, which was a fellow named Russell Dickerson.
Who?
Exactly.
I'm
a country music fan.
Are you really?
Yes.
Who is this guy?
I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. 2 years ago, last season, ABC spent $1.5 million, probably. No, that's a dumb number. This is me being a regular person trying to think of the biggest number I could think of, when in reality, the Backstreet Boys take a load of money more than that to do anything,
right?
Probably.
Well, they were pushing their new Vegas show, though.
Oh, you're right. So ABC buys the Backstreet Boys last year for a date, and now they're out of money. Now they're out of money for musical guests for an indefinite amount of time. We're going to still keep getting Russell
Dickerson. Yeah.
Who the hell is that? So that's it. Actually, that's the end of the date.
That's it.
So Dean obviously gets the rose. He's in a very comfortable spot. I mean, outside of Peter, is there anybody who's definitely beating Dean for her right now?
No.
In, like, the battle for second, Dean is very
Dean is
firm.
First.
Yeah, Dean is first. It's an interesting way of saying it, but when Peter is competing, like, Christ.
Right. Everyone else just go home.
So that happens, and then now the meatiest part of the date in terms of content and also just chest man parts,
right?
Because like the smallest guy is already out, he can't be on this date.
Mm-hmm.
We have the group date.
The group date.
We have a group date, and so the group date is everybody but Jack Stone.
Jack Stone and his foreheader at home.
Foreheading at home. God, that guy. I don't know how.
We're gonna have to do a little. Well, we. I'm not gonna be here, but. Oh, I have just invited myself back for another show.
If something happens to Taylor on Monday and Tuesday, well, no, like, she stays longer. Not like, oh, Christ, no.
You're getting married.
No. If she ends up staying longer or something, a flight gets delayed.
Okay.
This could be you next week also.
Okay.
Just so you know, you're, like, on hold to be in the bullpen. I'm going to announce that on the air. So
when Taylor's back, everyone's really excited then.
Just so that you can't respond negatively to it. You can't be like, no, I'm not doing this 2 weeks in a row. You can't do it because we're being recorded.
Or anyway, you're editing me out, whatever.
Yeah. You're being recorded. I'm doing the editing later. So it's going to be very interesting for you.
So this group date is like my dream birthday party when I was a kid. There are silly straws. There are dance lines.
Wow.
There's a cute boy holding me up to Titanic.
Oh, man. Peter.
That's about it, though.
The spelling bee
part? And there's bad rap.
Oh.
There's bad rap. I feel like I listened to great rap. Who are we kidding? And then there was.
8-year-old me would have said the same thing about this date.
But spelling bee.
But it was the spelling bee part. So they start on a boat, right? And the boat ride is like, it's weird. I forget who said it. Maybe it was Will who was like, listen, the whole team is all alpha males.
Yes.
And it's just everyone being loud and, like, who can be the showiest and get her attention the most, which is an extremely accurate portrayal of these guys.
Did you see them enter the date?
Yeah.
They were all walking, and all of a sudden, Iggy's like, nah, F this, I'm running.
And then it was a race.
And then it was a race.
And then it was a race.
Just like that.
Everyone ran. Oh, classic men, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like, I mean, I'm one of them, like, genetically, but not, like...
Are you the one who's making the observation of all the alpha males?
I'm the one who's like, whoa, 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 the boat's not leaving until we're
Guys,
all on
I
it.
I think I see a spelling bee.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. The water. There's an intellectual competition. Let's just turn this thing around. So they go on there, and, like, all the guys are like, yeah, I'm going to rip my clothes off, got to show off the chest, and, like, I'm going to do push-ups. And, like, listen, if I looked like that, maybe I would do that too.
Okay.
But again, my forte is back with the spelling bee. So
that's okay.
So they do all this. Peter notably refrains from removing his clothes.
Yes, shirt stays on the entire time. He does, however, rap.
He does. He does it very poorly, but wildly confidently.
Yes.
Because that's like the Peter thing. Peter knows he's winning. Like, we know Peter is winning because he is. But he also knows...
Right. If he wasn't winning, you'd say, oh my God, you need to stop right now. But he's winning, so it really doesn't matter.
He just writes his own rules for all these dates. All the guys are like, we're on a boat. Cool. Skin as much as possible. Peter's like, I don't need to do that.
I'm going to wear a pink shirt.
Yeah.
Fluff my graying hair. Smile with my gap tooth and win this bitch.
He is. That's what he's doing. He's like, listen, I'm going to just walk over here, hold her up like Titanic, and then leave and do this crap and say it was good. And, like, that's his thing, and it's working.
Oh. Executed flawlessly. Great job on the date, Peter.
So, I mean, I guess that's what happens on the boat. Does anything else happen on the boat?
No.
That's it? Like, Kenny raps really well. Speaking of the rapping, Kenny was good.
Kenny did a good job.
Kenny was good. It's going to come up later. Like,
yeah. I have feelings about the second time around.
This is something he can do.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's an attractive quality to a woman, the whole rapping thing.
I am a woman.
Wait.
Get out of town.
Wait, are you listening to what I just said, like, earlier about how, wow.
Isn't repetition good for that?
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah.
Great.
Really hammers it in there.
Bringing it back around.
Yeah.
But as a woman, freestyle rapping, one time, all right, sure, everyone's having fun, goofing off, and if yours is the best, you've probably impressed me.
Yeah.
Or your Peter. But.
But don't beat that dead horse.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... It's better to be good at things than bad at things.
Unless you're Peter.
Yeah, unless you're Peter. Yeah. You just do whatever the hell you want.
Just stand there and smile. You're good to go. Anyway, so that's it on the boat, right?
So they get on the boat. They get off the boat, and they show up to, guess what? A crowd of single older women, which is like the only thing The Bachelor ever does. Like, oh, a group date. Cool.
Let's go to a rich part of South Carolina.
Yeah.
And gather some folks.
We just put up an advertisement for older white women because the Ellen Show wasn't so demographically focused. We really need to hit this harder.
Right.
So they do a spelling bee in front of these women, which is phenomenal.
As a poor speller, I'm not going to...
Why didn't somebody tell me a long time ago, hey, you know what? Being good at spelling could potentially attract you somebody someday. I didn't know that was an option, like a route that I could pursue as a means of attraction. It's not.
Courtney's
face.
Not.
Courtney's
it's
face
not.
Is like,
I was like, how do I make this face
Courtney's
into
face is,
words?
How do I tell him he misunderstood
But
that?
You know what? Being a speller is not attractive.
It's just like Kenny rapping. Like,
right.
It's
if
good
I
to
got
be
a...
good at stuff, I guess, but like what you were good at isn't working.
Right. If I got a text from you about champagne and champagne was spelled wrong, I would think, you probably can't afford champagne.
You would think, Adam's not writing this because he would not have spelled
true.
That word right.
That is so true.
Yeah, so they do the spelling bee. And like, this is cute, I guess. Josiah wins, but wins nothing, which is like a theme of this year's
Oh, no, he date. Won a cup.
Oh.
How could you forget about
he won
the cup?
Zero extra minutes
Correct.
With Rachel.
Yeah,
he did
the date's
win,
still going.
But
we
did,
ended the episode
yes.
and the date is still
well,
going.
So I don't know. Maybe right. he does, but... Christ, when are they ever going to start eliminating people? But anyway, so the spelling bee is kind of fun. Like, Some of the words are really easy. Some of the words are hard. It is important to note that Peter, they put the headphones on these little girls who are the judges for this thing, and they're like, Peter, you have a word.
Ladies, it's, cover your ears.
It's coitus. And there is a reason that Peter received this word. It's because he's Peter, and he's winning. And before the show, they had like a pregame huddle, and they're like, Rachel, one of these guys is going to get a very naughty word. Who do you want it to be? And she was like, it can only be Peter.
Right.
And
then
so,
he spells it wrong.
Yeah.
And it's okay.
He spelled it wrong because he's an idiot. Let the record show, when I wrote down the word before they had showed the spelling, it was correct.
I mean, it would never not be
you
correct.
Should assume
you spelling it.
You should assume that I'm spelling just in general everything correct.
Yeah.
You, the listener, not Courtney.
Well, I assume that too.
Yeah, and you're going to listen to this tomorrow, I hope.
I don't know how to speak.
No, it's weird to hear yourself speak. It's very weird.
So one time I called my own phone to find it, and I heard my voicemail. We're at automated voicemails
now.
Who
answered that?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's like it for activities,
yeah.
Right? Nothing else happened? And then
just that the Spelling Bee Champion Trophy was actually incorrect, and it said Spelling Bee Champion.
This is correct. Courtney was noticing this, and I should have, but I did not. She did. It said Spelling Bee Champions on the trophy. I guess
yet Josiah is holding it alone.
I guess
drinking out of it alone.
They were expecting multiple winners.
Yeah, just in case there's a tie.
I guess, but I feel like
ties are encouraged in spelling bees.
No, I think you just keep going until there's one. And also, I feel like if you're gambling on one of the options, either having a trophy that says champion and two guys who are sharing it, or one guy that's with a champion's trophy, I feel like you pick the other one.
This is getting nerdy, like, and I agree though.
If you gotta miss one way or the other. You missed the other way.
Right.
This is dumb. So, anyway.
Good job, ABC.
Fun story. Good job, ABC. Hey, while you're at it, cut some of these guys. Get rid of, like, eight people in this rose ceremony.
A godforsaken rose ceremony.
Just give us one episode of two. Or, like, or I'd even take...
How about one with one?
Yeah, one super rose ceremony.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go in with 15, and we're going to come out with six. Good number.
Great call.
That was not premeditated.
No.
That was just... symbiotic.
Right.
Anyway, that's it, right? So then we go back to, is it the house? Is that where they are?
No.
No, they're not the house because they're on vacation.
They're at some place in Hilton Head.
So they're somewhere at Hilton Head, and Lee's starting trouble again. Lee's like, what is happening? Iggy starts the trouble.
I think Iggy and Lee are both starting trouble at the same time with different groups.
What a great way of putting that. You're right. I don't know what's happening. The guys are definitely at war with each other.
Yes.
And it's like there's this attitude, this culture of drama that's really just like a couple of guys driving it. But like everyone's on edge about it, right?
Right. I mean, there are four main culprits the way that I see it in the drama here.
Oh, please list them.
I will, because I'm sure no one knows who they are.
Okay.
You got Iggy. You got Lee.
Yeah.
You got Eric.
Yeah.
And you got Big Man Kenny. Right?
No Josiah in there?
Oh, we got five.
No, I don't think Josiah...
Josiah was encouraging.
Josiah didn't start anything. He kind of got attacked by Iggy. Iggy just came and sat down next to him. He's like, so listen, I got to tell you something. I just talked a bunch of shit about you.
Oh my God, I forgot like, about him too. Iggy's pulling everyone down.
So, yeah, Josiah wasn't proactive about it. He was just sitting there drinking out of his spelling bee championship.
Yeah, minding his own... business.
His dumb plural trophy.
Yeah.
He kind of got dragged into it. He's not really starting it. He got upset, but he didn't start anything. But, like, Lee does this thing. Lee does this thing, and it's very, like, especially when he's very obviously drunk.
Yeah.
He has this thing where he weaponizes the word, I love you. and he says it to a guy, like, it's, like, after he says it, he can just say whatever the hell he wants after that, and it's okay. It's like, it's like when I'm on the phone with customer support and I say, I know it's not your fault.
but I'm about to rip into you right now.
I know
now.
It's not your fault.
Three,
but this is,
two,
but this is the worst
one.
Thing I've ever experienced. and I hate you and I'm going to cancel your service and come set your house on fire.
Right.
But I feel like it's okay because at the beginning I acknowledge it wasn't their fault.
Right.
And so like Lee thinks he can do this where he goes, listen, I love you, but I think you're a piece of shit. Or whatever he wants to say.
Right. And I'm going to... kind of start a little something. I might tell Rachel about it. I might tell her that you're aggressive.
Yeah. I mean, Lee makes up stuff about people.
Yeah.
And he tells it to Rachel. And then he, like, when he's in their face, it really, Peter says it the best. He acts like he's being, like, very, very, like, nice and, like, just aw shucks southerny.
Yeah.
But he's being super disingenuous. And just telling people you love them doesn't just erase all of the stuff you have said about them previously. Yeah. Or, like, it's just not how it works.
No. And I forget who'd said it. And I think it was about, you know, fight from the last rose ceremony. But
it's almost impossible
to tell them apart.
There are so many fights, it's hard to tell them apart. There are so few rose ceremonies, however, that it's very easy to tell them apart.
Oh, right. So, sorry, last fight, which I believe was also at the rose ceremony.
Correct. Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
Just how infuriating it is to have someone sit there and smile at you and be disengaged.
Oh, that's
Lee's
game.
You're angry at them. Oh, my gosh.
That's Lee's game.
You just sit there and smile, and you want to smack that smile right off their face.
It's like you just totally, like, defeat him in conversation. He
yes.
says something, and then you go, no, listen, let me tell you all the information, and the information is that you are wrong.
Yeah.
And then Lee just smiles at you, and he goes, listen, I love you.
Oh.
And then, it's like... It's under my skin just watching him do it, and I'm not even there. And I'm also not a person who gets upset very easily. I'm generally pretty cool, and, like, I really want to like everyone.
Yeah.
Especially if I have been drinking. I really want to love everyone.
And touch their hair.
Okay, like, potentially.
Right.
Depending on how much I've had to drink. But, yeah, like, Lee is a snake, and it's – I think it's, like – pretty clearly a producer plant that he made it past the last ceremony. Because, like, listen, Rachel is like, Kenny and Lee are fighting. A real-life person, especially a lawyer, would say,
right.
These two people are fighting?
Get
okay, why don't I hear both sides, and then I'll determine who stays and who goes.
Yeah.
Like, she should do that. And she probably, like, I didn't think of that for her. She thought of that for herself. And the producers were like, no, we got to keep them both. You have to keep them both. So they make Lee get in.
Right.
And, one of them is just not going to survive until the next one, because Lee is about to get in a fight with Kenny, it appears.
I know. Can we talk about Kenny's conversation with Rachel?
Please.
She was questioning him almost like he was a child.
Which is weird.
Which is weird, because I think the way she handled everything with DeMario was so professional.
She's lawyerly. She just
lawyered
him.
Right, exactly.
Boom.
And with him, it started out that way. But then she kept rephrasing things like she was talking to a child, and I was like, I think she was trying to draw something out of him that he just wasn't given.
It seems to me like what would make sense is that she should have asked Dean about it when they were on their one-on-one. Because Dean is kind of...
sweet little puppy Dean.
He's kind of the voice of the people right now, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, he's not... Like, he's going to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Dean's not trying to, like... He's not trying to hop on, like, pile on any of these guys.
He's comfortably in second place.
Yeah. He's not... He's like, whatever, I just cruise, and,
right.
Like, I'm gonna get to have sex with her, she's gonna get to be my family, like, I'm gonna be, like, poised to be the next Bachelor if I just cruise,
right? Oh, I
go on. Right?
Sorry. Yeah.
Sorry. No, please go on.
I will.
And come back on my show.
I will. Oh, my God. We get to be
like,
so famous.
Let me tell
no,
you
just
about
kidding.
Dean. So, Dean has, he has no motive to not tell the truth. She should have asked him. Maybe she did. I don't know, but it seems.
Or she will.
But it seems weird that she, like, listens to what Lee says. And then, like, questions what Kenny is saying. Because it's very obvious that she should be switching those things.
Or just getting rid of both of them.
I mean...
Of the two, 100 times would take Kenny over Lee.
Yeah.
But,
and, I mean...
You know what we're doing right now?
What?
We're giving Lee way too much of his percent.
Yeah, you're right. I have one more thing to say.
Okay.
If you're Lee, if you're Lee and you're going to pick a fight with one guy in the house...
Oh.
How the f*** do you pick Kenny?
Wrong.
The biggest
wrestler.
The biggest, baddest, like, professional wrestler. Why would you pick him?
Terrible.
Pick Dean. Pick Dean.
He's no, don't pick Dean.
He's like 112 pounds.
Yeah, but you want to ruin that face.
No, you're right.
Oh, pick the Tickle Monster.
Yes. Oh, all right. All right. We
like,
agree.
How are we going to combat this? Oh, Tickles? No way.
So that's where we left.
Yeah.
To be continued. And then we have a double episode next week.
Right.
Is where we left. What
but
did you want to do?
I wanted to say real quick. Can we talk about her conversation with Peter really fast?
Well, she loves him. So.
She loves him. A, way to drop in that she likes to walk around barefoot. Heated hardwood floors. Not that he has them, but he'd get them installed for her.
Well, yeah.
In which she follows up, did you know I can practice law in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah, they're into it. They even had the, like, I would move here for you talk, which is ridiculous because everyone moves to L.A. anyway. But
it's a nice thought.
Yeah. Like, It's a nice thought. Nobody ever means any of it.
No.
What everyone means is, I would move to LA for a bunch of reality TV money. And who wouldn't? I would. Listen, if you're ABC, if you're listening, and you need a podcaster, I'm available.
Or an ex-bachelorette.
Yeah. Whatever. Courtney's also available.
I'm throwing my hat in the ring.
For a second, I was like, no, Taylor is engaged. And then I was like, oh.
Oh,
you meant the current one talking.
Yeah.
Not the one with all the tape.
Correct.
Got it. Yeah. Courtney, also available for the next Bachelorette. ABC, if you're listening, you have a double, opportunity here.
Yeah, this works.
Let's go into our end of the episode. Power rankings first. Let's start from the bottom and go up. I will start. My number four is Will, who was also my number four last week. I feel like Will is going to steer clear of all the drama.
What drama?
And I feel like he's kind of crazy smart.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No, I loved when the fight was about to break out, and he's like, I'm not going to get in it, but I'm going to stand here and watch.
I will watch it, though.
Yes.
Will's still number four for me. Who's number four for you?
Diggy. I'm not.
Number four is Diggy.
I'm not okay with Diggy.
A genius
and
move.
His glasses being gone.
I believe this is the first time it's happened on our show that an eliminated contestant has been power ranked.
I mean, if I had to pick one that's still there, it's going to be Brian, and I can't stand him.
I'd go back to Diggy.
Well,
so wait, are you power ranking based off who you think she is into?
Well, I think it's who I'm into and who she should be into.
Ah, I'm just exclusively based on who I'm into.
Okay, well, Diggy was for me.
Yeah.
Brian is for her.
Oh, Diggy is for me, too.
Yeah.
Who's your number three?
My number three is Will.
Ah, okay, good. Yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah.
My number three, and this is a surprise, and I don't want to say this, my number three is Anthony.
Black sheep.
Who I believe is boring as shit. However, who is it? Peter was like, listen, Anthony is a secret genius before the spelling.
Yeah.
Before the spelling bee.
So now you like him.
And now that I think about it, he is a secret genius. And me, unlike some of the people on this show, by some, I mean 100% of the people on the show, I'm attracted to intelligence. So, Anthony, I still want Adam to beat Anthony, just family-wise.
Obvious.
Anthony's gonna go. He's my number three.
Okay.
Who's your number two?
Obviously, it's puppy dog Dean.
It's Dean.
Yeah.
Dean is my number two also. He's great. He's not Peter, but he's great.
Yeah. He will make a fantastic next Bachelor.
Yeah. Or a pet that you take out on the weekends.
Yeah, you want to show off to all your friends.
Maybe make him an Instagram channel or something where you're, feeding him food and it's, bouncing off his face or something.
And then you both giggle.
Or, you take a photo of the two of you, he's asleep on your chest and it's, Sunday afternoon and, you're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah,
you know?
Move some sun rays coming in just make it real artsy.
Oh, Dean's great for that. And number one for me, and I assume you, is Peter because
Absolutely.
He has already won and I don't even know why this game's going on anymore.
Exactly.
Do you have any bold predictions for next week?
I have a bold hope. It's that despite the blood...
New segment. Bold hope.
Despite the blood that is on Kenny's face, I really hope Lee's face is even more f***ed up.
That's Lee's blood. Kenny just hit him so hard it flew back in his face.
Ricocheted off.
It is inexplicable to me that Kenny is bleeding in the video because it maybe Lee lands one punch and then after that,
producers Kenny, jump.
Kenny is just obliterate. Just
That's my bold hope. I won't call it a prediction because I don't think it's going to happen because I think we would have seen blood on both if it was there. But a girl can dream.
Yeah. Bold hope is that Lee doesn't survive until the next episode. And you can see.
We already saw him in his
cable. Take that
sweater.
Word to mean whatever you want. Survive on the show. Survive at all. Whatever. Lee's in trouble. Also, bold prediction. Jack Stone eliminated on the 101 date.
Oh, we forgot about Jack Stone.
I didn't forget about Jack Stone.
Okay, well, I did.
Forehead is in my mind.
Yeah, how can...
He is leading with it, and it is in my head.
Yeah. But compared to some of those other characters, do you think Jack Stone's that bad? Compared to the Tickle Monster?
No, but I also don't think he's good enough to be on the show at this point.
That's
and,
true.
It's not his fault. It's not Rachel's fault. The show needs to have about 10, 12 guys on it right now, and it has to have 16. So there's a handful of guys still just riffraff, and they're going to be there for a little bit. Because next week we have a double episode. I really don't think they're going to give us more than one rose ceremony.
Oh, then Jack's got to go. We got to get rid of some of these guys.
Jack Stone! Eliminated in the one-on-one because we have to get rid of them somehow.
Right. He's not Peter, so he's got to go.
Everyone who isn't Peter is losing. Yeah. Sorry, but just compete for the next Bachelor. Compete with Dean for the next Bachelor, and that's it.
Yeah, hope for second place. Maybe.
Like, listen, second place on this show is a pretty good prize.
It's first after first.
Yeah, you might be the next Bachelor or Bachelorette. You maybe get on BIP if they bring it back.
Oh, and,
like,
the dream.
If there are any lawsuits. I didn't know you were that into it.
Oh, I love it.
All right, well, anyway, that's the show for this week. We'll see you next week on Wednesday morning, one day late, because ABC wants us to watch 4 hours of The Bachelor. No, they want you to watch 4 hours of The Bachelor. They want me to watch 4 hours of The Bachelor, Bachelorette. I confused myself. Yeah. They want me to watch 4 hours of The Bachelorette and then record a podcast about it and give it to you 24 hours after I typically do.
Yeah.
So Taylor will be back for that. It'll be the two of us. It'll be Wednesday. That's it. Thank you one more time. Yay! To Courtney for coming on the show.
Yeah. Didn't you have a special call out for your friend?
You know what? I was going to talk about my friend, Buddy Steve. Oh. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to just slip it in at the end. Because then you could just listen through the whole thing. I was like, you have to listen the whole way through. And then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to slip it in right here at the very end.
Hi, Buddy Steve.
Hi, Buddy Steve. I saw my Buddy Steve at my brother's wedding a couple of weeks ago. And it was a magical time for everyone. Like, my brother got married. Like, fantastic for him.
Yeah.
He's on his honeymoon right now. I'd have no idea if he's ever going to listen to this. He
or
probably
come back.
He probably is, because he's like the most loyal listener to my show in the history of the world. And just like an overall really good guy.
Yeah.
And his wife is cool, too. Boy, I really sold her short, didn't I? He's family. She's recently family. That's different.
Listen for a few more years and you might get a shout out.
So what I was trying to say is, if you're Buddy Steve and you're listening, thank you. If you're anybody else and you're listening,
you should have turned this off a few minutes ago because we're done with the content.
Also, thank you, but like, meet me in person more often, right?
Right.
All right, that's it. I will see you next week. Bye.
Oh, you don't know?
I told you that.
I just like to keep it 100 and keep it real.
Great smile.
I know my mom.
I could actually have a ring on my finger. I've never had one before.
I just saw the shark.
This finger is ready.